Welcome to the Brave Talk podcast, where we interview your favorite UNC Pembroke personalities and keep you up to date on everything happening with Braves athletics. Here's your host, Dick Christie.
All right. Thank you, Anna Bass, from our talented soccer program for that intro. And welcome to the first Brave Talk podcast. Appreciate everybody joining us. When I decided to do this, my main focus was on trying to get our coaches and our student-athletes some exposure. But we obviously have to get viewers first. So when I thought of who was the most exciting, most entertaining person that is connected to Brave Athletics, Jordan Sampson was the first person that came to mind. Jordan, local guy, former athlete, and in full disclosure, great friend of mine. Jordan, welcome to the podcast as our inaugural guest.
Glad to be here. I always love anything dealing with UNC Pembroke. I love being here and love being a part of it. Also pretty cool to be the inaugural guest. I appreciate that. So.
Well, it shows through in everything you do, Jordan. You're black and gold through and through. What, you know, growing up around here, what did UNCP mean to you before you ever knew that you'd wear the jersey?
When I think of UNC Pembroke, I think of basketball camp. Dan Kenny had an awesome camp back in the day. Kind of remember getting up the night before, putting all our clothes out, just kind of, you know, being ready for camp. That's literally my most vivid memory of UNC Pembroke. And then, of course, my brother played here. So I always felt like Pembroke was like the place. I mean, we were Carolina fans and everything, but Pembroke was home, and it was the university that, I actually always wanted to play for. So that's kind of my childhood. So.
Now, you were a heck of a high school football player as well, so I know you had some options there, but chose to come here and play basketball. Which you just mentioned about growing up is one reason we're consistently trying to be involved with Pembroke Elementary. You know, we need kids to see that logo and think 20 years down the road it's a big deal to be able to put that jersey on. So it's always exciting to see. We actually have worked with your kids, you know, and they were back in first grade. So pretty cool to hear those stories actually come to fruition. So one thing I thought of, how do we make this podcast fit our area? So one question I expect to ask all of our guests, Jordan, who's your people?
All right. My dad, John Sampson, he was a really good athlete growing up, played basketball. Mom, Wanda Sampson, I feel like people think of her as kind of like the mother of basketball. Just got back from a AAU tournament I took my kids to, and we met my old AAU coach, and he saw her, and he hadn't seen her in 20 years, but he just, you know, gave her a hug and was just like, everywhere there was a ball bouncing, she was there. So, and that was the same with Dad when he was alive. So,
that's awesome.
Just kind of feel like I came from a athletic-minded family, never missed games. If I was at a game, you know, my older brothers, I was playing cup ball, but, you know, of course, I was out there doing something, but... The parents, of course, were always involved and always made sure we were involved, never missed a game. So that would be how I would think people would know of my family if you asked around. So, yeah.
So for the two listeners who are not going to be in Robeson County, I'll just more broadly explain who's your people is the great local way that people say. Basically, who's your family? Making sure you come from good stock. So I love how that question's asked around here and what it means to be family. And, why we call it Brave Nation family. But so you've gone on to obviously the big things, Jordan. You're one of the top guys with Farm Bureau in Robeson County and one of the top producers for Farm Bureau. Tell me a little about getting started with them. And you guys are a huge sponsor of athletics. So another angle that, that you've stayed engaged. So tell me about getting on with Farm Bureau.
Farm Bureau was kind of like a I remember my agent growing up, and I always thought, man, these guys never leave here. They're always playing golf every day. It was a steady job where it seemed like it was, you know, they did well and they were always there. I said, something good.
But that's exactly how I became an athletic director. I saw Les Robinson at NC State, and they were honoring a team my grandfather played for. Right. So I see him sitting in the athletic director suite and eating food during the football game. I was like, this is a pretty good job. I think I could do this.
That's kind of how I got started in it. Once I got on with Farm Bureau in the training, I figured out that it was more or less they like to hire people who were in athletics and some kind of athletic background. So you go to home office, there are a lot of people that work there, played athletic, Division I, Division II, Division III. But Most of our platforms with SEALs are based upon, you know, prior athletes, or, you know, it's kind of that same premise. But I think Farm Bureau is definitely been vital for me, of course, around this area. I mean, they just have so many avenues and so many things that let me get involved with the community, with Pernell Sweat, with UNC Pembroke, other area high schools. I mean, it is just a perfect fit for me with my athletic background. So, of course, Farm Bureau, you know, they're big with a lot of schools, and of course they kind of help donate to UNC Pembroke as well, to their athletic department. But you can go to Chapel Hill, NC State, East Carolina, most of the big schools. Farm Bureau is a big donor and a big sponsor, so I just think it's a great company to work for. So,
and you can see why you're one of their top producers. You're not even my agent.
I'm not sure.
Not even my agent for my Farm Bureau policy, yep. And you were helping me through a claim 2 weeks ago. So yeah, I appreciate that.
I don't want to get talked crap about. So yeah.
I don't want
to help you out.
So Jordan, your experience as a student athlete, obviously valuable to Farm Bureau. One other thing that I know came from your time as a student athlete, I got to say, one of the things I admire most about you is your toughness. You and I have offshore fish together a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
You are the only person that I know that knows going into a trip that they are actively seasick and get seasick, and is still brave enough to willingly go 60, 70, 80 miles offshore. It had to be your experience as a student athlete that gave you that kind of intestinal fortitude, because no one else does that I know.
I'm not sure. I've never even thought about that, really. All you think about going fishing is the actual fishing part. The other parts you just kind of put to the side. So we talked about it when we first started. I'm ready to be on the water right now. So it's just, I don't know. There's something about fishing. We grew up fishing on the pier. My grandmother was 80 years old fishing with her long skirt on. I can kind of remember that on the pier. It was just literally one of the things I've always enjoyed and don't get to do enough of course. But.
Yeah, that's definitely the story. Look forward to getting out there with you soon. You have a great story that I think talks to how far the student-athlete experience has come. You and I were both athletes about the same time. I try and tell our athletes all the time, you know, just how different the standard of care is now, what the expectations are in the recruiting process. So one thing we got off the ground this year, finally, was a nutrition program. So for the first time at UNCP, all of our athletes, when they're done with an official team lift, they get 24 grams of protein in a protein shake to try and improve their muscle mass, try and improve their fitness, trying to get us as healthy and as fit as we possibly can be. That is a far cry from what the expectation was in the late 90s and early 2000s. You got a great story about a road trip that I want you to share with everybody, because it makes me chuckle every time I hear it.
Well, I think we had protein too. I mean, during our halftime, we had 2 liter Coke bottles that had a lot of protein in it. And, one of our old coaches, Coach Staten, I love him to death. He always made sure we drank some, you know, our Coca-Cola during the halftime. But that was kind of our thing back then. But, I laugh when I think of all the things that these athletes have today in comparison to 20 years ago. The shoes, the jerseys, I mean, it's got to be an awesome time to be here. And it was then too, but it's just it shows you how far the universities came and how innovative and things are now, of course, than when I was here. But definitely enjoyed it. At the time, we didn't know any better. But looking back, it's like, man, you know, it's a lot different than what they get now. So
Coach Staten and all his nutritional expertise thought that you're going to get rehydrated with that fully leaded Coca-Cola.
One of my favorite memories, yeah, Coach Staten. Yeah, I love that. Of course, that's we talk about that. But great guy. Just tells you the difference in times, you know. But
yeah, Wendell's the best. Now athletic director at Georgia College, so he's gone on to bigger and better things. But Wendell was assistant for Coach Haskins, right? Were you recruited by Coach Haskins, or what did that look like when you came here?
I was in between basketball and football. I got recruited by a lot more football teams. A lot of offers. I got an offer from Carson Newman, Wingate, offer from ECU.
Glad you didn't go there.
Yeah, and ECU and football. These are all football. And then UNCP, I can't remember the other offer in basketball, but I had basketball on my mind. I played all that AAU during the summer, and I vividly remember Coach Haskins being at a lot of those events, and I felt like it was almost a given that I was, you know, I could get an offer here and play here. You know, looking back, I probably didn't work as hard as I should have, and I'm kind of trying to kind of help my sons along that same process to work a little harder than I did. I found out really quick when I got here, I wasn't a big man on campus like I was in high school. So, but you know, I enjoyed the experience, and I wouldn't change it, because my wife always says if I would have went to ECU, we might not be married to this day, or you know, we laugh about that. But my wife was here, of course, playing basketball as well. So that was kind of a draw to me as well. So I wouldn't change it. If she's listening, I wouldn't change anything.
Well done. Way to get the spouse plug in there. I'm sure Jessica appreciates it. You know, but that's interesting. Jessica was obviously on the women's basketball team. You guys were high school sweethearts?
Yes. So, next door neighbors.
Yep. Next door neighbors and high school sweethearts. And then now, you know, talk about we talked about Brave Nation family already, but I think, you know, you playing for Coach Haskins, he's kind of been the Swiss Army knife for our athletic department for 35 years, and now he's coaching your wife's sport and being our head women's basketball coach, leading us to our best D2 season last year. Talk a little bit about that. I think our women are going to probably be picked high in the conference this year. Tell me what you saw from a basketball standpoint from them last year and on the floor.
I talk to Coach Haskins a lot. If I see someone who I think is a good recruit, I'll send him a message or call him. He has a really good handle, especially on the girls' teams and that the last few years. But, I mean, the team has definitely grown in the past few years. Of course, last year was a culmination of that. I mean, a lot better season than they had a few years prior. But I haven't seen the recruits they got coming up this year. But talking to Coach, he sounds really excited about what they got, you know, for this upcoming season. But I try to make to every game. Sometimes it's tough to get to the whole girls game. I try to at least make it here by halftime. But this year me and my wife, we try to make a plan, especially with my daughter. We want to come watch the entire games if we can. So we'll try to make that work. But definitely looking forward to, you know, the women's season as men's as well. I think they're both going to have great seasons coming up. You know, high expectations as usual. You know, maybe even looking to win the conference in both. It'll be great. But
I think it's going to be exciting when we get to winter sports. Both teams, I think, will be towards the top of the league, and wrestling and swimming and indoor track all have a chance at a championship as well. So it's going to be pretty exciting once the weather starts turning. Tell me a little bit about, you know, your wife's been on the Braves Club board. You've served for us in a number of committees, Hall of Fame committee in the past. You know, why have you stayed engaged, and why is this important to you?
I just remember what it was like being a student athlete. You know, I stay engaged on the high school level, and here, I mean, it's home. You know, if I see kids out in Walmart or in Food Lion, I'll try to talk to them, especially prior athletes, and kind of pick their brain a little bit. You know, I don't give them any money. I know that's a recruiting violation, but if I could, I would. But
hopefully Christine is listening. We can chalk that up.
But yeah, I just know how I remember being in their shoes, and I just feel like it's important to give back. And this, like I said, this is home. I don't want to miss any game. If there's a game, you know, we have homework and kids at home, and we'll look at each other and the wife and say, you know, are we going to come to the game tonight? Are we going to do homework? And you know, the game always wins, but kids have to get to bed a little later. But it's home. That's all I can say. I don't know how else to explain it. But
now you're, you know, something we try and drive home with our student athletes is, at some point, you're going to have to take the jersey off. And, you know, our top goal is trying to make sure they're successful in life. You guys are a great example of staying engaged in the same community and moving on and having a productive career outside of athletics. You know, you mentioned I've talked to, you know, a lot of guys around here that are friends and were your buddies growing up, and you were definitely a big man on campus with the Rams there for a while. So transitioning to college and then ultimately having to take that jersey off. If you could give today's student athlete who, you know, doesn't see that end's going to come, if you could give them any advice for how to make that transition mentally and and career-wise, what would you say?
Prepare while you're in college, of course. I mean, enjoy every bit of it while you're there, but you need to do a little preparation. I wish I would have done a little bit more while I was in college. You know, looking back, you know, I could have paid a little bit more attention in certain classes. That kind of came back on, you know, some of my jobs. But there's a lot of different jobs out there. I started out at a couple I really hated, so you really need to find what's better for you. You can literally go through your favorite or whatever your major is, but if it's not something that suits you on the outside, then, hey, you don't have to literally stay on that. You know, you need to find something that you really, you know, you're really going to enjoy. And for me, I never thought I would be an insurance agent. You know, I just never did. But when I got into it, I found out how it was similar to athletics. There's always goals. There's always production. You're always competing against others for trips or you know, or helping people out, of course. But at the end of the day, it's whatever fits you. So I think you just prepare a little earlier in college and try to figure out what track you think you may enjoy later in life. So because that's definitely if I would have thought about the last time that jersey was on when I took it off, I probably would have thought a lot harder. You know, it's something that happened so quick. If I could go back now and just play one more game, I mean, I would give. I'd probably sell my boat.
You always think there's going to be one more game, one more tournament.
But I still feel like somehow, some way, I'm gonna put a jersey on some other, you know, however way. But just enjoy the moment, but you know, prepare for the next moment, which is, you know, your career. So that's my little tidbit, I guess.
One of the last topics I was going to mention. So you guys have helped us a lot on the Farm Bureau side and personally on Cash Bash. That's kind of become our signature fundraiser, you know, trying to model it after some of the bigger schools and how they do a night of giving. Talk about that event this past year and the format and what you think moving forward on that.
That's always a great event. I look forward to donating something, you know, something cool that I think that someone would like to purchase.
Like an 8,000 pound fire pit.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to do that one again. somebody was probably mad at me for that one. But it's just a good event that me, my buddies, and even everybody around town seems to gravitate to. It's just very well done, especially this year. I mean, the technology on how you choose and pick the numbers and things, it just makes it easier. I mean, the speakers are always good. And of course, it goes back to a good cause. It's great to sit with the student athlete at each table to kind of pick their brain. But we didn't really have anything like this when I was there, so I really appreciate it. And I know the student athletes do as well, even though they're so used to it now. But just a great event. I look forward to it every year. It's like I'm sure for you and the guys who planned it, it's probably already planned in phase now, even though it's a long ways away. But the community seemed to enjoy it, and I think you probably realize that too. So,
yeah, this past year was really a culmination of a lot of work. I was really proud of our staff. May 11th this year, a Thursday night, is what we're looking for Cash Bash. So a little bit earlier than last year to get out in front of beach season, but still a good sweet spot where we're past a lot of the spring fundraisers and things going on at the high school level to try and get everybody's attention. But I think a lot of people are always surprised with our interaction with student athletes that night. A lot of people think that, you know, we kind of give them a script or try and set them up. And Christina Chow and our SAC, they do a great job in getting volunteers, but we literally just put them at stations and let them be themselves. And it's amazing how well they sell, you know, what's going on that night and why it's important to give scholarships. They're our best selling point every time.
I agree. I think especially if they're sitting at your table and if you talk to these student athletes and you're not inclined to give any kind of money or, you know, to help them out, then there's probably something wrong there. But I think most people are inclined, especially when you sit in that seat, you hear the people talking about their experience with the college and then the, you know, the people who come back. I think we had the professional bass fishermen this year and some other alumni, but I mean, it's just a great event, a great cause, and you know, it's just all for the kids, of course. So
speaking of professional bass fishing, did you see the scandal in walleye fishing past week? What did you think of that?
Oh man, I've watched it a lot. That's pretty that's pretty brutal for the guys involved, but yeah, just
Cheaters never win.
Never prosper.
Yeah. It's going to catch up to you at some point, right?
Kind of along the line of that, I always drill to my boys when they're running wind sprints. I said, well, if you don't touch the line, you're just as bad as cheater as someone who steals something, or you always have to give that effort. And that's one of my pet peeves.
Now, are those real practice wind sprints, or are these ones that your wife makes them do at home?
Well, no, these are real practice.
Jessica's pretty intense as a youth coach. I mean,
she is. Yeah, she's been known to throw water in some kids' faces from time to time. But that's literally one of my pet peeves. I don't care if they miss shots or do whatever, but if they're not hustling, I want people to leave there and say that. I think that Samson kid, he didn't do this, but he hustled. But cheaters never prosper. So yeah, that's a good lesson for the day.
Man, I don't think we could end it with a better one than that. Jordan, I really appreciate you coming in and putting in some time with us, but more importantly for everything you do for athletics. So keep up the good work, and hopefully we'll see each other on the golf course or the boat here soon.
All right, sounds good. Nern.
Yeah, appreciate it, man.